great to have you here at Christ the King on our patronal feast. Today's solemnity was established by Pope Pius XI in 1925, so fairly recently, in an encyclical entitled Quaeos Primas. In this encyclical, he addressed a growing threat to religion and to Christianity from nationalism and secularism. He had a great foresight. Keep in mind that the Second World War had not happened yet, the nationalism of the Nazi Party, and our modern times with the secularism where people want to just drive out all religion and replace it with something very secular. He had a great foresight in seeing that there are elements that were hostile to the church and to religion. Many people, even still today, they want the world to be something that exists without any reference to morals or God. On this feast, we remember Christ as the supreme ruler of the universe. Not any one nation, not any one king or queen or president, but Jesus Christ takes power over all. In fact, he teaches that the kingdom has already begun. And where is that kingdom present? Where is his heavenly kingdom present here on earth? In his church. In Vatican II, Lumen Gentium 3 says, the church, or in other words, the kingdom of Christ, now present in mystery, grows visibly through the power of God in the world. If you want a taste of heaven, it occurs right here. Not in all the messy stuff that is our broken humanness, but in the gift of Jesus Christ himself in the Eucharist, in the gift of forgiveness he gives us from our sins. The kingdom is here. A kingdom is typically made up of three key elements: a king, subjects, and a realm. And by examining these three elements of a kingdom, we can learn how that we can be a better part of that kingdom. Number one, a king. A king is all-powerful and has control of all, but remember that we worship a good king, meaning he never misuses it for selfish purposes. He's responsible for the people under him and there to serve. That's a great example to us. Many of you have been given power of one sort or another. Maybe it's at work. Or even as parents, you have power over your children. At least you're supposed to. We have a power as Christians that we use in service of one another. A king also delegates his authority, and we see this also reflected in the kingdom of heaven here present on earth. Jesus specifically delegates the authority that he had to forgive sins to who? His apostles. And those apostles pass it down to their successors. He said to Peter, "Peter, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You know, authority is not a very popular thing in our time. For many of us, we have kind of bought into that lie. And some of us even think that sometimes the church is an oppressive, rule-making bunch of old men who are out of touch with reality. And yet you see this old man, Pius XI, in 1925, very much in touch with reality, so much that he had foresight into how things would be today. Authority is not popular. But as Christians and as Catholics, we stand before the Lord today, and in a few moments, you will profess a creed where you say you believe in one church. That church is apostolic. That means the authority is handed down through the apostles and their successors. And you will say to God that you believe that church is Catholic. How much do you really accept that in your heart? So much so that you'll be willing to proclaim it to other people? The people you work with, the people who surround you, your own family. Another element of a kingdom is its subjects. Now, I was really curious about where this word subject came from. It actually comes from a French word, which comes from a Latin word, subjecare. Sub, of course, means under, as in submarine. Or, no, sub sandwiches doesn't work. But, sub meaning under. Yakare is kind of an interesting word, though. It means to throw. And so I'm like, well, you know, what does it mean to throw something under? I mean, the modern equivalent, do you throw somebody under the bus? No. In fact, what came to mind as I prayed with this verse is Revelation 4:10. Revelation 4:10 paints this picture of 24 elders, presumably the 12 apostles and the 12 leaders of the tribes of Israel, standing before the Lord on his throne. And they're all wearing crowns. And what do they do with those crowns in Revelation 4:10? They take their crowns and they throw them at the feet of Jesus, under his feet, under his throne, as this symbolic action of taking their pride and their glory and the gifts they have and submitting them to the power of Jesus Christ. What crown do you have that you need to cast under the feet of Jesus Christ, your King? What have you not made subject to him? Your finances? All of your possessions? Your marriage? Your sexuality? Your whole self or just parts of yourself? If we are going to be subjects of a kingdom, then we have to have something that we subject to him, something that we throw at his feet, something we surrender. Who is in control, you or him? Finally, the last element of a kingdom is its realm. This is the area that a kingdom would extend to, but also it is the area that the king would go out and protect. It was his realm, so he would defend it. Even if you lived outside the city walls of the castle, if he heard an invading army coming in, he would go to defend his realm. This is a great analogy for the church. We enjoy the protection of the king as long as we choose to live inside the realm, that is, to live inside the bounds of the church. When we decide to live outside the realm, we will not enjoy the protection of the king. Not because he doesn't want to protect us, but because we've decided that we don't want his protection. I recently took a vacation and I drove down to Florida because I didn't want to pay for an airline ticket. And I used Google to map it out for me, and I thought, well, it'd be kind of adventurous if I follow what Google where it tells me to go, because it had this really weird route going down through the bowels of Arkansas and Mississippi and Alabama. There's a reason why we make fun of Arkansas. I mean Arkansas. And it took me through all these twisty roads and all the state roads, all the two-lane roads. And you know, when you'd come up on a twist, they'd always put up a guardrail, right? Keep you from falling off. A lot of people say that the church is too full of rules. There's too many rules to observe. But parents, why do you make rules for your children? To keep them safe, to keep them out of trouble, to keep them growing towards something good. And kids, your parents do not make rules to oppress you or to make your lives miserable. It doesn't serve them at all. Just as those guardrails are put up to keep a car from just going off the road, so too rules and the bounds of the church and the teachings of the church keep us from going off the road to where we could hurt ourselves. We have to cooperate, though, with God. We have to cooperate by staying near the king, inside his realm, so that he can defend us against attacks. And we forget sometimes, brothers and sisters, that as Christians, we are at war. And more severe than any war with ISIS or Muslims or terrorists or any world war or any threat of nuclear holocaust, what does Jesus say? Don't be afraid of the people who can kill the body. Be afraid of the people who can kill the soul. Greater than any world war is the war that is being waged on your soul and the souls of your family members and your friends and your co-workers. Will you engage in battle or just be a bystander? I said there are three elements of a kingdom: the king, the subjects, and the realm. But there's one more element, a group that is called out of the subjects, and those are the soldiers. They could be peasants, they could be nobility, but they are a group called out of the subjects to defend the kingdom for the king. That's you. I remember when I was in high school, I was really struggling with the sacrament of confirmation. I was a sophomore, and I just wasn't mature enough to really get it at the time. And I remember one evening, my dad was sitting out on the front porch, and I went out and just sat with him. And just like guys do, we sit with each other for half an hour before we can say how we feel and what we think. And I asked Dad, what was your confirmation like? And he told me his confirmation was in third grade, but he remembered one thing. He remembered one thing from that third grade confirmation, that they told him that he was a soldier for Christ. Will you be a soldier for Christ? One of my favorite stories of popes, and my little nephew is named after Pope Leo the Great. Pope Leo the Great was being threatened by Attila the Hun, who was going through the Italian countryside, conquering everything. And he heard that he was coming to Rome, and so he went out to meet him at the city gates. Attila the Hun was a very bloodthirsty man who burned down churches, had many wives, killed everything in sight, all to expand his realm. And he came to Leo, and you know, he had his kind of his courtiers, his close advisors around him, and so did the Pope, and then the Pope would step forward and Attila the Hun would step forward and they would try to, and the Pope's hope was that they could negotiate a peace. And after they met for a little bit, Attila the Hun returned to his advisors and they asked him, what were you able to discuss with Leo, Pope Leo? And he told them, we're not going into Rome. And they said, well, why? Are you scared of Pope Leo? And he said, no, but I am scared of the person hovering above him with the sword, St. Peter. You see, in that moment, Attila the Hun had seen a vision that only he saw of St. Peter. And he went back to his kingdom and proclaimed that St. Peter and Leo had beaten him. We are in a spiritual battle. And you can not only win the fight, but God has promised you a share in His kingdom. He wants you to become kings and queens of His glorious kingdom. If you are willing to subject yourself, to throw your crowns at His feet, and let Him be king of every area of your life. If you're willing to live inside His realm and faithfully follow His one holy Catholic and apostolic church. You see, those choices, to have Him as your king, to be His subject, to live in His realm, and even to be one of His soldiers, allows you to live in the kingdom now, which is the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of heaven.